Good morning and welcome to the Heart of the Father broadcast. This is Pastor Ken Strong from Father's Arms Fellowship. This morning I'm going to play an excerpt of a tape from a sermon in December from Father's Arms Fellowship entitled, Don't Abort the Dream. Many times in life we have dreams, we have visions, we have goals, we have things we want to do. We have things that God has called us to do, He's put in our heart, but things in life come and bring discouragement to us and make us want to give up on that dream and hold back on what we could be, keep us from being all that we could be. But if we'll not give up, if we'll press on, if we'll move on in, we can have the dreams that are in our heart. And as it says in Psalms 37, verse 4, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. So don't give up on your dream. Listen to this message this morning and be encouraged.
Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you'll open to Matthew chapter 3. We've been teaching on demonology and deliverance and defeating the powers of darkness. And we have authority over the powers of darkness, and He is under our feet. The enemy is under our feet. He has nothing in us and no power over us because we're washed by the blood of the Lamb. And we defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, according to Revelation 12:11. So we have power and authority over demons, sickness, disease, poverty, and all that the enemy has to throw at us. We have authority over it, and we're going to move over into that authority. Now, how many of you know just because you have authority does not mean you operate in that authority? How many of you know that God has given people positions in the body of Christ and has given people positions in their jobs and has given us a lot of things in life, and yet if we don't access that and move into it and take dominion over it and in it, then we won't operate and have the blessing and the benefit of it. We've got to do something. We've got to resist the devil. Last week we taught submit unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, if we don't submit unto God, we have no authority over the devil. We talked about that last week. You have no authority over the devil if you're doing your own thing. You only have authority over the devil if you submit unto God. Amen? If you're doing your own thing and you're a rebel and you're not under submission to authority and you're not under submission to divine authority that God has put on the earth and you're not under submission to divine authority of the Word, let me tell you something. I don't have to come to you and give you a word from the Lord to stop doing something that God's Word tells you to stop doing. I don't have to preach a sermon. If you come under divine authority, if the Word says that you do it, amen? And if the Word says stop doing it, we stop doing it. We come under authority to the Word of God. And then what happens? We come under the protection of the Lord. If we're not under authority, if you're not under divine authority and submission to God, you're not under His protection. And in Psalms 91, it says that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it says that under His feathers that we find our trust and our help and our rest. Well, we're not. We can't have that if we're not in the position we're supposed to be under His wings. If you're out flitting around doing your own thing, amen, in places you ought not be, doing things you ought not do, you're not under the wings and the covering and the protection of the Lord. Does that mean that? Does that mean that God wanted bad things to happen to you? Absolutely not. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10 says. The enemy's job is to steal from you, kill, and destroy your life and everything that you do and your children and your health and your finances and everything that it has to do with you. The enemy wants to steal from you. Hallelujah. But it won't happen unless we let him. And if we stay in that position that God has called us into in Christ, under submission to him, under submission to him, then everything is going to turn around and be the way God wanted it to be in our life. But when we're out of submission to God, when we're in rebellion, it'd be like I said last week, then we have to get swallowed by the whale like Jonah did. God will have to allow us to learn the hard way because we wouldn't learn the easy way. Oh, easy is so much more easy. It's so much more fun to just go ahead and learn it God's way, isn't it? And learn it the easy way. The easy way is, I said no, child, don't stick your finger in the light socket. That's the easy way. It's not the easy way when they get that shock and it knocks them back. That's not the easy way. Now, they still learn, don't they? And they might learn a little better that way, but that wasn't the best way to learn. No. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. That's the best way to learn. Just don't touch it. Mama said, don't touch the stove. I ain't touching the stove. That's the best way to learn. Amen? But some of us are just a wee bit stubborn in this room. And we got to just see if it's really hot, don't we? We got to see if it really shocks us, don't we? We got to see how close to that line we can get and still be saved. How close to that line we can get and still not get in trouble with God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm confessing in Jesus' name, I have a teachable spirit and I'm not stubborn.
Amen.
So let's just confess that and believe that and ask God to give us that teachable spirit so we don't have to go through things the hard way. Amen? Well, let's look. We're in the Christmas season. And this is the only thing that come up in my spirit today so far. and that is Matthew chapter 2. And this is concerning the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And, of course, this is Christmas Eve. We're going to probably be doing some different things along this as the Spirit leads. But let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus, verse 1, was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of him where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent into them, they sent into Bethlehem to go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring him word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood where the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed into Egypt, and there he was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was forth heard a lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to tell you today, but something in my spirit is stirring in the area of that Satan has a plan to steal the dream that God has put in your heart. Satan has a plan. We've been teaching on demons and demonology and evil spirits. And I want you to think about this story of the Lord Jesus in His birth. Satan knew that God had given Israel a promise. How many of you have had a promise from the Lord for something? And you know you've had a promise. Well, it might have been for healing. It might have been for whatever. And yet, just because the promise was given didn't mean that the promise would just automatically come to pass with no cooperation of man. Man needed to cooperate with the Holy Ghost and with the Spirit of God to see to it that the dream that God had and the vision and the promise that God had given into His servants and into His people Israel would come to pass. It's not just going to automatically come to pass. And I want you to see something here. Satan also had a counter plan to come in and to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ could have been killed as a baby. Did you ever think of that? He could have been killed as a baby. And your dream in its infant stage can be killed. Oh yes, the enemy can steal away your promise. He can steal away the things that God has given to you unless you guard it. Unless you carefully guard that promise and hold on to it and protect it and cover it. And even if you need to move off into a different area that's safe, you'll move off into that area that's safe to protect the vision and to protect the dream that God has given to you. What did God do to Joseph? He came to Joseph in a dream and He warned him. He said, flee into Egypt because they're going to try to kill the Son of the Most High God. They're going to try to kill the dream, the hope of Israel. They're going to try to kill the deliverer and the Savior of all mankind. They're going to try, and Satan put it into the heart of Herod to slay all the children. And we read it just a second ago. And he came through and killed all those firstborn boys and killed all those babies so he could get rid of the menace unto him. And don't you know that your dream is a menace unto Satan? Don't you know the vision and the calling that God has for your life is a menace and is a threat unto Satan? Don't you know the gift of healing in your hands is a menace and a threat unto the powers of darkness? Don't you know that the word of salvation that is in your mouth and the testimony that God has in you is a menace and a threat to Satan? And if he can shut you up, and if he can stop you, and if he can make enough bad things happen against you, and if he can throw enough monkey wrenches in the works to get you discouraged, and if he can short circuit the deal out, then he can stop the blessing of God and stop the plan of God and stop the power and promises of God in your life because you give up. Hallelujah! But we're not a people who give up. We're a people who press on. We're a people who conquer. We're a people who win. And in this story, it is amazing to me that Joseph was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If we would get, as a people of God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the dream that God has for us, He'll give us the direction and of how to protect that dream. Yeah, there's something more for you to do than just be treasurer. There's something more for you to do. And the Holy Ghost knows what that is. There's something in you that needs to come up and out. And see a hota handai. There's giftings that of the spirit of utterance that are going to begin to flow out of you. There's things that God wants to do in our life and to birth a dream and a vision and a seed in us. The Messiah was just a baby, an infant. And that's when Satan comes at your dream. Amen. When it's at its infant stages, when you're just starting out as a new believer, or you're just barely, just now starting to get grounded in the Word, now is the time the enemy wants to come in and steal away the giftings and the dreams out of your heart. Hallelujah! I see you back in a beautiful brick house paid for. Glory be to God. I'm glad for the trailer you have that's paid for. But you know what? Paid for. But you know, or whatever. I don't know if it's paid for. But you know what? You ain't staying in that trailer. Hallelujah! God's got something bigger for you and better for you, and it's awesome. And it'll happen. It'll happen in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we have to downsize and downgrade for just a temporary time. But guess what? Job had everything stolen from him. But you know what? He stayed faithful to God. You know, he stayed faithful to God. And you know what happened to him? At the end, he had double. You'll have double everything the enemy stole from you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Sanda Bahatai. Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, God has His hand on His people, and He has a dream in it. And if we don't abort the dream, Pam, glory be to God, because of sorrow and grief, we don't give up, and we keep pressing on, we're going to live out that dream, and it's going to bring deliverance to us. And it's not just going to bring deliverance to us. It's going to bring deliverance to everybody that comes in contact with us. We're going to be a blessing, and we're going to touch them with healing, and we're going to touch them with the Word of the Lord, and we're going to touch them with freedom and salvation. And everywhere we go, whatever they need is going to come out of us. Because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives in us, and every need that they have is in Jesus. And God will just bring that anointing out of us to meet their needs. Glory be to God. But I just got to tell you, in this story, look how careful Joseph was. God said, the enemy is going to try to kill the dream. Try to kill the plan. Now listen, if Jesus had not been able to be killed, if Jesus was invincible and could not have been killed, the angel and would not have spoken to Joseph in that dream and said, take him out of Egypt because Herod is going to seek to destroy him. Do you understand that? The dream is possible to be destroyed. Your dream can, you can be all on fire with God today, just so excited. And all it takes is just a couple, what they call monkey wrenches, in the works. Amen? Just a couple things go haywire, you get discouraged. Then another thing happens and you get discouraged. Then a bill comes along that you didn't expect, and you, what am I going to do? And you fall behind and something happens there. Then you get attacked in your body and you get all wore down. Then your mother dies. Then something else happens and somebody else gets real sick. And one thing right after the other, and you get discouraged. And what happened? What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to destroy the dream. He's trying to kill the dream. He's trying to destroy that gifting that's on the inside of you. But God has a purpose. And if you don't give up, you don't give up the desire of your heart, Psalms 37:4, God will give you the desire of your heart. If you delight yourself in Him, what's your name? You? Glenda? I'm sorry, I forgot. If you delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37:4, He will give you the desires of your heart. There's desires in your heart that God has seen and God has heard, and you've gotten discouraged and you felt like that certain things were never going to happen in your life, but God will pull them together in your life. If you'll seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these other things in your life are going to fall into place. Things that have been out of order, you're going to see them come into order. Where you've been discouraged, where you've been down about things, where you've been wounded and betrayed, God is going to turn all that around. And where you've fallen and making mistakes and you've beat yourself over the head with it, God is forgiving you, washed that away. And you just need to press on because God's got an awesome plan for your life. I'm speaking to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God's got a plan for your life, and He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to turn all that looked like a bunch of clutter and mess and stinks, and He's going to make a something good out of it if you'll keep walking with Him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So the enemy just wants, if he can steal that dream, if he can get you to thinking, Uncle Ivan, you know, like you was talking this week, if the enemy can get us to thinking we're unworthy and we're not righteous and we ought to just give up and quit. See? This is the trick that the enemy throws on the children of God. You mess up, and then you don't feel like you're a child of God. And you screw up, and you think God don't love you anymore. And you know, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you anyway. And who can separate us from the love of God? Nobody. Your mistakes can't separate you from the love of God. Your adultery can't separate you from the love of God. Huh? I don't know why I said that. Maybe somebody's messing around. But your adultery can't separate you from the love of God. Only your hard heart can separate. If you stay hard and you keep being hard and stay hard and keep being hard, then God can't get through to you. But if you'll let your heart be tenderized before the Lord, it don't matter. Pick up and move on. Glory be to God. Pick up and move on. Quit your sleeping around and get married. Amen. It's all right. God will forgive you. Just pick up and move on. Don't give up. Don't abort the dream just because there's some things that have come to steal and kill that dream and to knock it out. Try to knock it. Listen, the enemy wants to knock us down, but Proverbs says he'll knock us down, but he can't knock us out. Amen. Glory be to God. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, we will reap if we faint not. So don't faint. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And don't quit. We're not a people who quits. We're a people who press on. And so Joseph, what did he do? Here's a key of obedience to see the promise of God fulfilled. Joseph was obedient. God said, get up and move and go do this. And so when God said, get up, go move to Egypt and protect the child, protect the vision, he did it. Now, whatever God tells you to do, you do it. Amen? Remember Mary said that to those at the marriage at Canaan of Galilee when Jesus turned the water into wine and they didn't know what to do with the situation. And she said, well, just do whatever he tells you to do. And he said, pour the water into these barrels. And it became wine when they obeyed Jesus. Your water will become wine when you obey Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Your plain, humdrum life will get sweetened and spiced up real good when you obey Jesus. Do you hear me? Yes. I was seeing the water go in and turn into wine as it did when I said that. Amen. Yeah. The Bible calls wine joy. It's this type of the joy of the Lord. Amen. You don't need alcohol for the joy of the Lord. You need the wine of the Holy Ghost for the joy of the Lord. Amen. But what caused some more of the aspects of this whole thing about Jesus being growing up and being able to fulfill the plan of God? Obedience. Joseph obeyed. You fathers and husbands, repent. If your wife is having to be the spiritual head of your house and the spiritual leader. I mean, if she's having to do everything spiritually, I wouldn't have a wife that wasn't walking with God. I wouldn't want a wife that wasn't walking with God. Don't you get out there and you women settle for somebody that ain't walking with God. Don't you settle. If they're not walking, if they're not wanting to go to, if you're having to bring up going to church, just tell them, I'll see you in church next week if you want to see me, but not Friday night. And when you start taking the lead spiritually, then we'll talk about dating. Hallelujah. You're asking for trouble. If it's the other way around, say amen or oh me. Joseph was a spiritual head of his house. Do you notice the angel didn't appear to Mary in the dream? And say, Mary, now you take Jesus and go to Egypt. No. Appeared to Joseph. Said, Joseph. And what happened? Joseph obeyed. Men, when God tells you to do it, obey it. Obey God. Obey God. Women, you better obey God too, because Jesus wouldn't have been here if it wouldn't have been for Mary. She carried him 9 months. She protected the vision in her womb. She carried the vision against opposition too. You think it wasn't opposition in their day and time when everybody thought she had slept around with somebody and got pregnant out of wedlock? Think of the shame and the guilt that Mary carried the vision. Mary carried the vision. She didn't go abort the vision. She could have. She could have aborted the vision for her name, for her honor. You see. But she didn't. She carried that vision. She received that word into her. And she carried that vision until full term and gave birth to it.